This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Tim Russ, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, are
Zachary Frueling and
Kay Shaw.
Well, a merry happy Prixmas, everyone. We're going to be talking about a Voyager potluck holiday party.
I love this time of year. I am podcasting tonight with a big glass of Katerian eggnog. And if you know anything about podcasting, that's like the worst thing you can drink while podcasting. But I'm doing it anyway.
But you finished it already.
You did finish it already.
I'm on my second glass.
Oh, no. We're in trouble. In second glass.
Well, I already finished my cider as well. So we're already well in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, I'm almost done with my beer. This is wrong.
I did spike my eggnog with some Kahlua. Yes, I did.
Ooh.
Well, in keeping with the alcohol theme that we have going on already, I believe Chakotay is going to be bringing in a bottle of Antarian cider.
From his secret stash in the cargo bay that's so secret that everybody knows about it.
Except for Neelix.
You're saying that's what Chakotay would bring to the Prixen potluck?
I see him bringing that and not cooking anything, yes.
I was thinking, I was thinking Chakotay would actually find out surreptitiously what Captain Janeway's favorite food is,
and he would bring that. He already knows her favorite food.
Does he really?
He knows everything about Catherine. I mean, think of all the conversations they've had over the years in their little, you know, dinners together that nobody else is invited to in her quarters.
Dinners in irony quotes?
Yes, with the quotes.
Dinners in irony quotes, yes. So what is her favorite food then?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I was trying to think of it actually, and I couldn't think of it.
He knows.
He kept it more secret than his cider then.
Yes. Well, it wouldn't be a secret if he brings it to the potluck.
I don't think there'd be any cider there when he goes back for it. I think everybody's stolen it all already.
It's not that it's a secret that he has the cider. It's just a secret where it's kept. And only he and Icheb know about that. And Catherine.
Allegedly.
So when drunk Icheb shows up at the potluck, we'll know what happened.
Yeah. And there's no cider left. Oh, I'm sure Tom Paris would have dug it out at some point.
Well, don't you think he would have done that by now?
Tom Paris knows everything that's going on. Yeah. Most of the bottles are empty.
I was going to say he drank it and replaced it with, like, a colored water.
Or replicated cider.
Replicated cider.
So here you go. Envisage the scene. Chakotay shows up at the potluck dinner. He opens the cider, takes a swig and goes, Paris!
I love it.
Because he can taste the difference.
Just like Scotty can taste the difference between synthahol and non-synthahol.
Absolutely. Well, apparently you can, although we don't hear that so much in later seasons, do we? But
Chakotay opens the bottle and says, well, it's green.
But Antarian cider isn't green.
Well, no, that would be a clue as to why it's not that.
What is that? I don't know. It's green. Bottoms up.
What's green? I don't know what's green. There's a bunch of blue stuff. I don't know what's green.
Yeah. Cream de mint.
Something Klingon.
It's cream de mint.
Something Borg. Borg alcohol is green.
Borg everything is green.
Exactly. Exactly. Borg booze is green. So he's not bringing any food at all?
No, I think he's going to bring in secret, not telling anyone that's what he's doing. He would bring Captain Janeway's favorite food, but he wouldn't Captain tell Janeway's anyone that's why food. He brought it.
But we don't actually know what Captain Janeway's favorite food is.
That's my point. I don't really know, but whatever it is, he would bring it.
Maybe it's chocolate-covered espresso beans.
Maybe.
Maybe it's pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
He's like, Captain, have some pecan pie. It is most pleasurable.
Ew.
Oh, creepy yuck. Dude.
That's not at all pleasurable.
You had to bring him up. He's not invited to potluck dinner.
I wonder what he would
not
bring.
Not at all.
If creepy dude from whatever planet that was came to the party. Pleasure man.
He wouldn't from bring Prime anything.
Factors, yeah. Prime factors, yes.
He would bring pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
See, the thing with Chakotay, right, that always confused me, and maybe we can try and clear this up today. Right. He's vegetarian, yes?
Sometimes.
Okay.
That's the
rule. Well, this is my question, right? Because this is where I think the discrepancy might come. I'm wondering whether or not, in the 24th century, vegetarians will eat replicated meat, and this is where I think we might be getting confused.
It could be, because there is no meat in replicated meat.
Exactly. So I think maybe it's just like, when they're down on a planet or visiting somewhere and it's real food, he won't eat the meat, but when it's replicated, he will.
It does seem to remove all of the ethical issues around.
It does, so I guess it depends why you're vegetarian, but
if you just do it because it just feel better when you eat veggie and don't eat meat, then that's another thing altogether, right?
I don't think he talks about being vegetarian too much, but I think we get the implication that he's an ethical vegetarian.
He's not like, beef gives me indigestion, or, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he does say if he had to eat meat to survive, he would do. I think he says that at one point, doesn't he?
He'd even eat Neelix's cooking.
He'd even eat Neelix. If he had to.
He'd even eat Neelix.
To survive.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Sorry, Neelix, you're first on the list.
Oh. I don't know. I need to do a Chakotay vegetarian food watch rewatch where I like watch it and just see what he eats.
Oh. Well, you're going to watch all of Voyager just to watch what Chakotay eats. I love that idea for a rewatch. You should do that.
Well, it won't be the only reason, but...
I thought you were going to say you were going to write a Voyager / Donner Party fanfic. Because I'd read that.
Well, I could do that as well, but...
Because I want to know...
I have to do the research first.
Who's dying first and who gets eaten first?
But I got to do the research.
This is a pretty morbid potluck.
Yeah, it is.
The Donner Party potluck was a real downer.
It's Christmas, right? We've been pretty relaxed, you know. Whatever happens, happens at the end of the day.
If you get an invitation to the Donner Party potluck, turn it down.
Seriously, though, we do need to talk about potluck activities as well, because I think that in my experience of life, anything at all could happen during a game of Twister. So...
Ooh, would there be pillows involved?
People could get eaten quite easily during a game of Twister by accident because turn around with your mouth open.
Or if you really want to win, you might, you know, sabotage and bite someone's wrist.
Exactly. You might start nibbling on people's legs to get them to fall over.
I won't say that I've done that.
I'm learning a lot about you guys tonight.
So, he's only a vegetarian for real food. So, whatever Janeway's favourite dish is, it could be meat-based that he'd still bring it if it's replicated. But then he does like to cook, doesn't he?
Only for Captain Janeway.
I don't recall seeing him cook.
Well, I don't want to delve into areas that we don't normally touch, honk honk danger Will Robinson, but in the holodeck thing with Seven, does he not cook?
But that wasn't him.
But surely she's based it off of something.
It could be pure fantasy.
Well, the whole relationship was pure fantasy. Why not all of it be pure fantasy other than him?
I guess so, but I kind of feel like that came from somewhere. Like, it doesn't surprise me that he'd be able to cook.
Give Seven's imagination some credit.
He strikes me as being able to cook, so I kind of wonder whether or not he wouldn't make stuff from scratch.
Oh, he probably could, because that's how he was brought up. I mean, not big replicator people.
He can probably cook things over a fire. He can't start the fire, mind you, but he can cook things over.
Not without Catherine's hair, he can't.
No.
Well, she's magical a real muse hair. For him, isn't she?
You yeah, don't want to know.
She's literally the spark.
She bow, is bow. Literally the spark, yes. Apologies to all our non-Jane Ray Chakotay liking listeners.
Sorry, not sorry.
We can't help it. It's Christmas. We're off the rails.
There are some out there. Well, speaking of Captain Janeway, what do you think Captain Janeway would bring to a Prixen potluck party?
Her grandmother's vegetable Brijani.
Ooh.
Because it seems to be the only thing she can cook and not burn.
Well, I was actually thinking she'd be the one to bring the beverages. She'd bring the coffee, the pre-dinner appetizer coffee.
Well, there'd have to be a lot of coffee.
Yeah, she'd bring the coffee.
And she wouldn't trust Neelix's coffee, so.
No better than coffee substitute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Captain Janeway is not a good cook. She would just bring the coffee.
Yeah. She'd probably bring something she burnt from her replicator that apparently hates her.
Well, she should have never called it a name.
No.
Do you think she would own up to it? Like, I burned this, but I brought it anyway because I love you guys?
No.
I think her burning of stuff is well documented, is it not?
Well, that's a Chakotay thing. That's, you know, between those two.
How do you burn something in the replicator?
I always thought there was something more to the replicator thing. I feel like there was something there that we didn't really get to know about. I feel like I need replicator fanfiction.
What if Tom Paris sabotaged her replicator?
Well, exactly. This is what I'm thinking. Because like Zach said, how do you burn stuff in a replicator?
You just order a steak and it comes out perfect.
Yeah,
right?
Why, steak.
What's the danger?
Medium rare.
Yeah.
Or medium well, as the case may be.
How dare you? The beef is already dead. Don't kill it a second time.
Still mooing, Zach. Still mooing.
Yeah, and I bite my ice cream too. What's it to you?
Oh.
I need to come over there and smack you.
My teeth are offended. See, I always figured, like, the reason that she manages to burn the food in the replicator is because she's programmed it. Isn't that like a recipe? Like, she does the pot roast or whatever, doesn't she? I'm not even entirely certain what a pot roast is. I assume it's just like a roast joint of meat, is it?
Yeah,
just a
roast. That you just cook with vegetables.
Like a rump roaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just a roast joint, basically. But yeah, so I guess she's programmed the replicator to do it, and it burns.
So you're saying that when you program a new recipe into the replicator, you have to specify all the ingredients, specify mm-hmm. the order of preparation, specify the cooking time as if mm-hmm. it were yeah. a real cooking experience.
Yeah.
And the replicator takes all of that, calculates it, schwooks it all together, and mm-hmm. gives you the end result.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think they've got the option to choose things that are already in the replicator.
Or yeah, like a gazillion recipes, right?
Yeah, or you can program your own stuff in there.
Which, why wouldn't she just choose a pot roast recipe that's already in there?
You'd imagine there'd already be one.
There's gotta be millions.
Yeah, like a tried and true, like well-tested, user yeah. experience tested
yeah.
pot roast. Yes.
Well, I think we're kind of getting back to something that we hit on a little bit. Well, I think it was even maybe last week when we were talking about how she feels like because her mum was such a good cook, she's got this thing to live up to. So maybe she feels like she has to try and...
How would you guys like to be the Federation's replicator tester? What a job.
That would be pretty cool.
Eating the stuff.
Like, yeah, the replicator quality assurance guy.
Like, key lime pie.
It would be pretty cool, but then you'd have to eat some pretty disgusting stuff as well.
Yes. I guess you'd have to eat all the alien recipes, too, right?
You'd have to have some gach.
All however many varieties there are. 47 varieties of gach.
Everybody knows replicated gach is no good.
But still, you gotta try it, because it's gotta be there.
I don't think the replicated stuff is squirmy, is it? Isn't the replicated stuff dead gach? Didn't they have a thing about that at one point?
Well, the replicator can't replicate living things, right?
No, but it could make it, like, it can make fizzy drinks. Same idea.
But that's not, like, biology.
Artificially squirmy.
So you could have, like, you know, carbonated gach.
Carbonated gach. I'm trying to understand how this works. So the gach are presumably a little squishy or juicy on the inside. So you're saying that in order to give them the appearance of life, They replicate it with carbonation inside the Gach.
Yes, to make them like pop and fizz. Kind of like an Alka-Seltzer, you know?
Like pop fizz, fizz. Candy Gach.
Yes, Pop Rock Gach.
Pop Gach.
You get that popping candy thing going on.
Yes. Or like Mentos and diet soda.
Do you think on the Klingon homeworld, whatever their equivalent of Sweden as a country is, do you think they have like Swedish Gach instead of Swedish fish?
Maybe.
Like little licorice Gach or jellied candied Gach.
They would have to have salt on it.
They'd have yeah, Swedish salt sweets.
Gach. Yeah, Swedish salt yeah. Gach.
Because they have like salt licorice, don't they? That's yes, a they Swedish do. Thing. Or it Scandinavian is. Thing, yeah.
And that's about the only licorice I can stand. I don't know why the salt makes it better.
Speaking of Swedes, actually, I know what Seven of Nine would bring.
Okay.
Were we done with Janeway?
Yeah, we are. Yes. We're going on to Seven of Nine.
We're moving on.
I wasn't.
Seven of Nine would bring a genuine Swedish Christmas smorgasbord.
Insert the sound of crickets here. Was that your prepared joke?
Was that the joke you were telling us about earlier?
That was the joke I was telling you about earlier.
Tumbleweed.
Okay, Timothy would appreciate that. I know he would be laughing right now.
Someone out there is going to appreciate that joke. That joke took some time.
All I have to say to that, Zach, is that it is a criminal offense that you don't have a child because that is a dad joke.
That is a total dad joke. So going back to Janeway, Kay, what do you have?
Yes, going back to Janeway. Well, I thought she'd have a crack at the caramel brownies.
Oh, yeah, sure, Gretchen's caramel brownies.
Like, she'd get them wrong, but she'd have a crack at the caramel brownies, yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. I really do.
The caramel brownies are, like, legendary in fanfiction.
Oh, now I'm angered even more that we never got to meet Gretchen Janeway.
Yeah, I
now I just want brownies.
Who would we have to play her? That's what I want to know. Who would we cast to play Gretchen Janeway if she had shown up? That's one I've thought about a few times.
Ooh, Ellen Burstyn.
Colleen Dewhurst.
She would be pretty good as well, but I'm sticking with Ellen. Dame Judi Dench.
Well, I was going to say, if I could go for some famous British actresses.
I love Dame Judi Dench. I love her.
I do love Judi Dench. She would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good call.
And I will never watch Skyfall ever again. I watched it once. Never again. I cried my eyes out. I was like, no, you cannot kill her. Yeah.
Now starring Julia Child as...
No, Lord.
Gretchen Janeway.
It's really bad you don't even have to say anything.
Do you know who else would be amazing, actually, to play Gretchen Janeway? Julie Walters.
Who?
I'm not familiar. Let me Google that.
She's in Harry Potter. That's probably what you guys would know her from. She plays the Weasley's mum in Harry Potter.
I've never watched Harry Potter.
I watched it years ago.
No, my mom is like obsessed with it. She can't wait to make Logan watch everything and read all the books. And yeah.
Calendar Girls. Did you guys get Calendar
Girls?
Yes,
I love Calendar Girls.
She's in Calendar Girls.
Which one was she?
Love my calendar.
She's like the main woman, isn't she, in Calendar Girls?
Oh, besides, whatchamadoohickey, whose names I can't... Oh, my God, I can't remember her name, and she's gorgeous, and I love her. Oh, she was in Paddington.
She's been in loads of stuff.
She was in the recent Paddington, and Billy Elliot, okay.
Been in loads of stuff.
I know. She would be awesome. Yes, she would be.
And she's very... She's got that... She can do that mumsy vibe really well, which is why I think she'd work. I assumed you guys would have seen Harry Potter, so you'd know who she was from that. Because she plays the mum of... Have you read the books?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh my God!
I don't actually read, you know that.
Okay, she was Annie. She was Annie in Calendar Girls. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. She's like a legend in British telly. She's done telly in Britain for years and years. Anyway, caramel brownies.
Yeah.
Om nom.
Oh, caramel brownies. That makes sense.
I still think she'd bring the coffee.
She would bring the coffee as well. Caramel brownies
and coffee.
I really like that. Yeah, that makes me happy.
Well, coffee alone does not a potluck make.
It does not. And we kind of segued into Seven, haven't we?
Yes, and her smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Oh.
Well, that is the funniest joke you've told today, Zach, so.
Ugh.
That's not saying much, I guess. If that's the best I got, better stop the podcast right now.
Lordy Lord.
Seven, I didn't really know, but now you've mentioned the Swedish thing.
Well, Borg sounds Swedish, right? According to...
Well, she is according to Lily. Swedish.
First Contact. Lily from First Contact, yes.
I mean, she is called Annika Hansen, which is an incredibly Swedish name.
Hansen is a Swedish name?
Well, spelt like that, yeah.
Is it Swedish or like Norwegian?
No, I was going to say Annika is too.
Annika is a very Swedish name, yeah. But if you... Well, Scandinavian.
That's what
I'm saying.
She
could be Norwegian or Swedish, but they're pretty much interchangeable. Any Norwegians or Swedes listening will get angry at me saying that, but yeah.
I am a Swede.
I am not a Lego.
Pretty much. That's Danish.
I come from a proud line of Forcells.
Lego's Danish.
My bad.
But they also have IKEA in Sweden, so.
They do have, but we have IKEA here.
I was going to say, we have IKEA in South Carolina.
She could bring some Swedish meatballs. I don't know how much she knows about her Swedish heritage.
You can actually build a pretty convincing Star Trek set out of IKEA stuff.
Yes.
Actually.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, like it's kind of like Next Generation, minimalist, brightly lit, you know, very convenient, modern. It's kind of like the Next Generation sets.
Since you brought the Swedish thing up, Zach, I did think that maybe she would bring...
Swedish meatballs.
Well, yeah, Swedish meatballs. But also, in Sweden, they have this thing called fika, which is like, it means tea time, kind of. But what they do is, like, in the afternoons, they have it, and when people come around to visit, they have, like, seven kinds of cake. Now, why it's seven kinds of cake, I have no idea.
Not
but
six.
It has to be seven
Not
different
eight,
kinds of
seven.
Cake. Seven. Yes.
Could it be a seven-layer cake?
I used to date a Swede, by the way, just in case you, like, wondering about my Swedish knowledge. I used to date an actual Swede, not one of you fake American Swedes. I dated an actual Swede from Sweden.
A little-known fake fact about Sweden is that... Fika actually requires nine types of cake, but you're only supposed to eat seven, so you have seven of nine types of cake.
Oh,
and... oh my God.
Wow. I see seven bringing nutritional supplement 13 alpha.
Hey.
I was thinking she'd go practical, actually. I was kind of making a joke, but really she would like Google either something totally nutritious or something totally holiday stereotypical. Like she'd have to look it up, like what do I bring to a potluck?
Yeah, she'd be bringing something ridiculous. Like a giant pile of mince pies or something.
Or a champagne fountain.
Fruitcake or something.
What are Seven's nutritional supplements like? I kind of imagine them a bit like, a you know, these diet shakes.
Cat food.
Like cat food?
Yeah. Cat
you didn't
food,
ask
yeah.
for feline supplement 74.
Oh, Spot.
She didn't realize she was accidentally in Data's database.
Is that why she wears the cat suit? Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your servers.
But seriously, though, what are they like? Because we don't get to see one, do we? Do you think they're like a diet? They look a bit like a diet shake.
Well, we get to see nutritional supplements.
Strawberry flavor.
On the Okampen homeworld, and they look like Swedish meatballs.
Is that the little cube, circle cube thingies?
No, it actually looks like a bowl full of Swedish meatballs.
Did it? I can't remember.
Yeah, the IKEA Swedish meatballs actually are nutritional supplements. Another little known fact is that the Donner Party actually served Soylent Green.
Oh, wow.
I thought they created Soylent Green.
Yes, they were the inventors.
But that
the
is kind of what source, I imagined it to be like.
Like a pudding?
She's like asked for nutritional supplement, whatever, and it's like, oh. And she can have it like chocolate flavor or strawberry flavor or whatever.
I don't think she'd go for any flavor, like flavorless gelatin.
That doesn't sound nice.
Well, come on, Seven's humanity is waking up. She used to like strawberries, you remember that, right?
But she remembered it, but I don't think we ever saw her eat a strawberry. The only time she ate food was when
that?
The doctor was in her body.
Well, maybe she brings strawberries. What did she cook that time? It was something where Tom Paris asked for salt and then... I forget exactly what she said. If it's too challenging for you, I could replicate something else.
Okay, who's going to play Paris? I'll play Seven.
Oh, we don't have the script.
I'm going to send it to you right now.
Okay. Is there any salt?
Additional seasoning is not required.
I'm sorry, I just...
If the quail hasn't been prepared to your satisfaction, I could replicate something more to your liking. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich, perhaps.
Actually, it's delicious just the way it is. There you go.
That's it.
Wow. Give those people an Oscar.
Well, speaking of Tom, what would Tom bring?
Pizza.
toast.
I was thinking it would either be pizza. I had pizza written down, but I was thinking it would be pizza or it would be something like cheeseburgers.
Yeah, really like 20th century food.
See, this is actually a first-person past experience of mine. One time, years and years ago, I was supposed to go to Christmas dinner, or maybe it was Thanksgiving dinner at my grandmother's house, and I was so hungry beforehand because we had to wait for dinner that I went to McDonald's and got cheeseburgers, and then I was too full on cheeseburgers to actually eat the Thanksgiving food.
Wow.
So that would be Tom Paris. He would that load would up on Tom. Cheeseburgers before the pricks and
you were channeling Tom that day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn. Sure. Or a TV dinner.
Yeah. One of the little tray ones.
Yes.
Cooked in his replicated microwave. Can you imagine using a replicator to make a microwave to cook your TV dinner in?
That's fine. It's kind of ridiculous.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure the replicator could handle it.
It's more authentic if you actually replicate a real microwave first, though.
He'd have all the worst stuff, like all the worst food, wouldn't he?
Totally. He's a junk
like, I
food.
Could totally yeah, imagine yeah. him bringing just stupid stuff like Pop-Tarts or... pot noodle.
Oh, I thought you meant he'd have all like the worst like appliances like the George Foreman grill.
Oh, he would have that as well, yeah.
The Ronco rotisserie.
Cuisinart, yep.
George Foreman grill, yeah. I think we've had this before. You guys have the Cuisinart thing. Ours is JML, which is like the company that just makes stupid devices that you never knew you needed, like cut things 4,862 different ways.
That would be Ronco.
Okay.
Do you guys know this cooking device called the Rocket Grill? There's a device called a Rocket Grill. You cook the food in these little parchment bags that like squishes against the parchment bag and it cooks the food. But I can imagine a Captain Proton branded Rocket Grill. Get one now. Call us at our toll-free space number.
Whoa. Order now and we'll send you a second one completely free. Just pay shipping and handling.
Just set it and forget it.
That's Ronco.
Other brands are available. There must be some kind of crazy Captain Proton branded appliance, surely.
Well, I have a Hello that Kitty toaster, sense. So wouldn't it be a Captain Proton toaster?
Actually, no. I got it. It would be Boothby's.
Boothby was a gardener, dude.
But Boothby was like the boxer training man. He's like the George Foreman of his day.
Yeah.
So it would be true. Boothby's.
He was a trainer. He wasn't a boxer.
How do you know he wasn't
but
a boxer?
But everyone knows Boothby. It's the best branding thing ever. Boothby's so old. Maybe it's like a Jack LaLanne juicer, like Boothby's juicer machine. Jack the Boothby juicer, the juice man.
That I will accept.
On the grounds of Starfleet Academy, he actually grows his own vegetables, and then he puts them in his own Jack LaLanne / Boothby juice man juice machine and makes a healthy snack.
And that's how he lived so long.
Right.
Yeah.
And one day he's going to spontaneously age like 60 years.
Yes, because Boothby is a Time Lord.
He is a Time Lord.
As we explained before.
The Boothby juice man juice machine is a thing. Okay.
It is. It is a thing.
Do you know what I've just worked out, actually? If Boothby is a Time Lord, which has been our theory, pet theory for some time,
yes.
Boothby and Guinan could actually be the same person. He could have regenerated into Guinan.
That is amazing.
#
I love that.
Headcanon.
I love that.
Boothby's got his juicing thing going on. Guinan certainly has her mixology down pat, so maybe.
I mean, like, he's still there, isn't he, in the... Species 8472 flashback thing, but that's yes. because they get that from the crew's memories, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's actually still there. Because he might not be still there at that point. Well, Picard does tell Wesley go find Boothby, doesn't he? So maybe. I don't know. It was a nice theory. I'm not sure it actually works.
I still like it.
I mean, he could have done, and then she could have just come back in time, so they could both exist at the same time.
They could, as long as they don't touch.
Yeah.
Do you think that's how Neelix makes his Leola root juice with the Boothby juice machine?
No. Unacceptable.
This is all making sense, because what you're saying about the juicer, and obviously, Guinan is the bartender. Oh, I'm headcanon in that now. I'm there.
Well, speaking of Neelix, I couldn't decide between two things that he might bring. I was thinking Neelix's fruit compote. You know, the one that he's soaked in alcohol for weeks or months that makes everybody a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. Or Rodeo Red's red hot rootin' tootin' chili that he puts in too many jalapenos.
Yeah.
So I can't decide which one he should bring.
See, I feel like Neelix would not fully understand the idea of a potluck. Like, it's a novel thing for him. He's an alien, right? So potluck, he's got to wrap his head around it. So he researches everything he can about potlucks, and he goes all out and makes the best, most traditional potluck ever. He brings everything.
Wait a minute. Neelix is an alien? When did that happen?
What?
Well, you had to come out and say, Neelix is an alien. Really? I did not know that.
It's easy to forget that kind of thing because he's so familial, right? He's so familiar to us. So
okay, well, along those lines, if he's an alien and is going to bring everything, what about his Alfarian hair pasta?
Yeah.
Which, I have an issue with the name. I was like, Alfarian, is it made from Alf?
Yeah, you've got to eat it with your comb.
Do cats run away from it? Because they're afraid.
rather than letting your pasta air dry, you actually whip out your hair dryer and give it a good blow dry.
You should use a diffuser.
All I know is that whatever Neelix brings, which is going to be a lot of stuff, he's going to put Leola into all of it.
Even his mac and brill cheese?
Yep. There's Leola root in there. The pasta's made out of Leola root. He's figured out how to make pasta out of Leola root.
That's just revolting.
Basically, any dish that Neelix ever makes, the carbs is just Leola roots.
I love that you have a couple of authentic Neelix recipe cards there, Suzanne.
I do have them. They're pretty amazing. From way back from 1995.
Scratch and sniff.
They are scratch and sniff, but they don't. Ooh, they don't wait anymore. A minute. Wait a minute. This Lorelian blue pudding.
What did you get a whiff of?
It does still smell like blueberries.
Does it smell like blue pudding?
Well, the recipe calls for blueberries, and it smells like blueberries.
Huh. Oh, that's good.
So a scratch and sniff card from way back in 1995 still works.
And for you listeners who weren't privy to our pre-podcast discussion, there are some 1995 prepaid phone cards right next to those recipe cards.
Yes.
Voyager-themed prepaid phone cards in Suzanne's basket of collectibles.
And tiny little Chakotay tattoo stickers.
Yes, which you're just waiting for the baby to be the right size for.
Well, Chakotay's is bigger.
Always. No, I thought Q's was bigger.
It's a sliding scale.
Only normally, not in Living Witness.
In Living Witness, Chakotay is bigger, yes.
Yeah, so Neelix brings a ton of disgusting stuff, basically, that nobody eats. Pretty much.
But see, Tuvok could take some of that Leola root and make it into sweet Leola root tart, as he has done before.
Now, yes. I was thinking Tuvok likes to bake. He would make some. Now, he wouldn't replicate anything. He would actually go in Neelix's kitchen and hand make something.
Like a Terra nut souffle?
I think so.
Like a Terra nut souffle.
Yeah.
Case in
point. Jimbalian fudge cake.
Or a Jimbalian fudge cake.
Yes, Jimbalian fudge cake. For the win.
I still want to try one of those.
Me too.
Out of all the food that we see on Star Trek, Jimbalian fudge cake is the one that
it looks the most amazing.
Yeah, so Tuvok bakes.
Tuvok bakes, yes.
Maybe Tuvok's helped Janeway with her caramel
with her brownies. Oh, I could see that.
Or he made some coffee cake for her coffee.
That's so sweet. I could see him, like, you know, testing her brownies and being like, ugh. This isn't acceptable, and making them behind her back, he replaces them.
Yeah, that's cute. That is super adorable.
I like happy Tuvok. It tastes good.
Oh, from his episode where he, like, gets all un-Vulcan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Riddles, yeah. Yes. I like Riddles Tuvok.
Well, that's where he bakes all the time. His Terra nut souffle, his sweet Leola root tart.
Yeah. And caramel brownies.
There we go.
Oh,
I just want to hug Tuvok.
Mm. Yeah, I do know. Yeah. Oh, now I feel sad.
We need more booze. So what is Balana going to bring to this shindig?
Banana pancakes.
The only thing I came up with is banana pancakes.
Banana pancakes for everyone.
But that doesn't make any sense at all for a potluck. Like, what do you do? Like, bring a griddle and make banana pancakes at the potluck? Is she the griddle? Yeah. She the griddle master?
She could also bring blood pie if she's going to go all Klingon.
Does she like could. That, though?
No, she doesn't like that. Who likes blood pie? It's not like blood pudding. It's different. Klingons. It's blood pie.
You don't think B'Elanna would be manning the pancake station?
Well, only if we get her Neelix's hat.
Excuse me, Zachary. She would be womaning the pancake station.
She would be owning. Excuse me.
She would be womaning the pancake station. I'm sorry. I didn't want to be too stereotypical there and put the woman at the pancake station, but, you know.
Well, you know, they've all cooked. I mean, Kuvok's baked. It's all fine. Yeah, I don't know, other than banana pancakes, really, what Balana would bring.
Yeah, she hasn't really expressed anything other than banana pancakes.
Because you can't really make banana pancakes for everyone in advance. They'd be all cold and stale and, you know, you got to make them in the moment.
Well, you could keep them in a stasis chamber.
Yes.
That's true.
It's like the 24th century hot plate. You know, exactly. You don't use hot plates, you put them in chamber. The stasis.
Beautiful. We're learning a lot about food in the 24th century. Or we're making up a lot about food in the 24th century.
Quick, before the pancakes go off, put them in hot stasis.
Yeah.
That works.
The ice cream is melting. Get that stasis chamber.
Or also, don't you think that they would have invented, like, a food version of a thermos?
That would be cool.
That keeps the food hot for longer.
Or it keeps the food cold.
Well, you know, someone's sneaking a flask into the Prixen party. Who's sneaking a flask in? Someone always is.
Besides Tom?
Well, Tom, and we've already said Chakotay's bringing the cider.
Oh, I got a bunch of leshes on Voyager. Wow.
Harry's not going to be, because Harry's Harry.
I could actually see Joe Carey spiking whatever punch is there. Because you would not expect that of Joe Carey.
There's nothing I don't expect from Joe Carey.
Joe Carey is a fun guy. We made this up.
But you totally wouldn't expect that.
Good time,
he's like,
Joe.
Somebody spiked the punch. And Joe's over there like, yeah, I have no idea who did that.
You get a couple drinks in Joe Carey, you never know what's going to happen.
What about the doctor, though? Because, like, wouldn't the doctor... Obviously, he doesn't actually eat.
He'd bring cheesecake.
Why cheesecake?
Remember when he was in Seven's body and he had in cheesecake for the first time?
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh my God, no, I got to replicate you a slice because I'm not sharing this one.
He ate the whole cheesecake and then she felt really ill. Yeah. Maybe the doctor would spike the punch.
No, I could see the doctor over there with his tricorder telling you exactly what the punch was spiked with.
That's true. Or going around the room scanning everybody, telling them exactly how drunk they are.
Be like, Mr. Paris, I need to walk you home because you're not going to make it on your own.
Unsurprisingly, Mr. Paris is 70% inebriated.
The doctor would be complaining about how unhealthy the food is. Like, you are going to need a heart replacement if you keep eating this food.
That's why Merry Happy Prixmas only comes once a year.
Yeah, and trying to show everybody his holiday photos.
Oh.
He probably made them all do like a family Christmas card shot in the lava caves.
Only if they're wearing ugly Christmas sweaters.
True.
I would love to see the Voyager crew in ugly Christmas sweaters.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Well, I seem to remember last year when we did our Christmas present one, didn't we say that Chakotay would have a Christmas jumper?
We might have.
So. I seem to remember us getting Chakotay a Christmas jumper.
I'd have to go back and give it a listen, but...
I'm pretty sure Chakotay ended up with a exciting, crazy festive jumper. Maybe they all have them this year. Maybe everybody was jealous of Chakotay's and they all wanted one.
I could see Tuvok being just a giant picture of the Grinch. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
You don't think he would have a sweater that has an elf on it because elves look a little Vulcan?
That's a little racist, don't you think?
No, it's not a racist thing. That's how their ears are shaped. They have pointy ears. That's not racist. That's a fact.
That's clumping them into a group together with elves, though.
All Vulcans have pointy ears, but not all pointy-eared sentient beings are Vulcans.
What would Harry bring?
Something from his mom's recipe book.
Apple pie?
I don't know what it would be, but just like mom's apple pie.
But do we know, like, what his cultural heritage is? Because, like, he's Asian, isn't he? So is he Chinese or Japanese or... like Korean or
we
actually know?
No.
I don't think they ever really explain.
But I know Harry mentions wanting his mom's apple pie.
Yeah.
And then Neelix makes him a substitute that looks kind of not like apple pie whatsoever. More like a key lime pie.
So are you thinking he would bring a stereotypical Chinese dish or
well, I don't know. If his parents are like Chinese American, then it could be American food, like you say, like apple pie, or maybe Chinese food.
I'm going with apple pie.
Yeah. I like Chinese food, so I'd be down with Chinese
food. I love Chinese food. And that's what I eat every Christmas Eve, Chinese food. Gotta have it.
Starfleet headquarters is in San Francisco, the birthplace of the fortune cookie.
Ah.
So he's bringing Captain Lorca's family's fortune
cookies? I was going to say, we're getting topical now with the fortune cookies. Although, that makes no sense, but we won't go there. Because isn't Lorca like Spanish?
What?
I know, but his family does the fortune cookies.
Why with the fortune cookies?
Why not? Somebody had to invent them. They were invented in America.
Or actually, there's some dispute about this, I think. I think there's one person or company that claims they invented them in San Francisco, and there's like another company in LA that thinks they invented them down there.
Fair enough.
Either way, it's American.
Yes.
Anyway, he could bring fortune cookies. He could bring fortune cookies and other Chinese food, because like Chinese starter foods are like really good stuff to have on.
Oh, dim sum.
Like spring rolls. Dim sum or spring rolls.
I could go for some dim sum.
He'd bring Harry Kim some?
Again with the crickets.
I thought that was funny. Just maybe it wasn't.
Wait, I'm just ignoring you.
Oh, come on, that was funny.
Sesame prawn toast.
Harry Kim some?
You guys get sesame prawn toast, right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yum,
good
yum.
Stuff.
We've been making some jokes, but I have no idea what Harry Kim would actually bring.
He might be really good at cooking. He could be good at Chinese food.
I got some wine, because that's all he ever does, is wine.
I was like, I know
there's
a joke
there
somewhere. I was going
to say, Zach would laugh at that joke.
That was a total dad joke.
Harry Kim brings the wine.
Well, I kind of thought, I wonder if that's the joke you're making. Is it? No, that's too obvious. But it actually was. But that's quite good. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
That was good. That was a good one. Good job, Suzanne. Good job.
Well, I don't think we've talked about Kes, have we? I don't think we've talked about Kes. We've kind of talked about everyone else, but yeah, Kes.
I've totally got one for Kes. Mm-hmm. Kes would bring Mississippi mud pie.
So it is kind of dirt.
Mississippi mud pie is dirt.
I was thinking dirt cups.
Because of the dirt, yes.
Which, if you don't know what dirt cups are, it's chocolate pudding with like crushed Oreos on top with gummy worms sticking out.
I assumed it'd be some kind of chocolatey thing.
There's also like the cat litter cake. Have you seen that?
Ew.
It looks like it has this crumble stuff that looks like cat litter. Yeah. I don't know. That's grosser than
ew.
Mud pie. So
I was just pulling a face. So.
No, I don't think Kes would bring something as gross as that.
I thought she'd be up for trying Seven's like supplements. We never see them interact, do we? So that's
no,
a sad thing.
Not really.
That is a very sad warned. Thing.
Yeah, but you know, the supplements, because you know she ate obviously the food supplements for years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she likes them. Maybe that's like Mama's cooking food supplement number 72.
She would bring something fresh that she grew down in aeroponics.
Yeah, it'd be like a salad or like some kind of vegetable.
Ooh,
she'd make vegetable bouillon for Captain Janeway.
Yeah.
What was the other thing that Captain Janeway and her had? Carrot. Something with a hint of carrot.
It was spinach juice.
It was the juice. Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. With a touch of
from
pear.
From Boothby's juicer.
Pear, that was pear. It. From Boothby's juicer.
Yes. Spinach juice with a touch of pear from there Boothby's Jack LaLanne Juice Man juicer.
Yep. Yes. Hashtag canon factual information there.
We tie those threads together. That's what we do.
Beautiful. Well, there we go.
Is that everybody?
I think so.
I think that's everybody.
Is there anything we've missed?
I mean, we could drill down, like, what would the Borg kids want?
What would Icheb bring besides drinking Chakotay's cider?
He's got the flask, yeah.
Yeah, he shows up drunk.
What about Naomi? What does Naomi Wildman want?
Naomi. Christmas cakey things.
Is that a Katarian thing?
Katarian eggnog.
Pies.
Like I was drinking for most of the podcast.
Chocolate.
They do have Katarian chocolate
candy
puffs.
Canes. That's true, Katarian chocolate puffs.
That sounds good. I kind of want one.
I
of
always
those.
Kind of imagine those to be a bit like, you know, like the marshmallow, like chocolate things you get.
A Malamar?
I don't know. We have them. They're called marshmallow tea cakes. They're like soft, gooey marshmallow stuff with chocolate on the outside, and then they have biscuit on the bottom.
Yeah, that's a Malamar.
Yeah, so those. That's what I imagine the Katarian chocolate puffs to be like.
I could see that, yeah. I know it was one of Counselor Tora's favorite things.
Mm. Yes.
Well, of course, chocolate. It has to be.
But the Katarians were not so nice in Next Gen, were they?
No, not really.
I think the Katarians were kind of horrible in Next Gen.
But looking it up, it was made from 17 varieties of chocolate.
Wow, Counselor Troy would be like, that would be why
she really liked it. Well, it's been fun talking about various types of alcohol today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, the 602 Club.
Oh, huge. Tintin, definitely in Europe and in many, many other countries, in Africa and Asia, is really, honestly, as big as James Bond rolled together with Indiana Jones and Superman.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
First of all, it very much hinges on the existence of subspace, which is also a kind of murky sci-fi term that is used in Star Trek to explain how warp drive works and how you can communicate.
The orb.
And so it makes the relationship between Nog and Jake really important, because it's, I think it does really soften Sisko's heart towards the Ferengi. And I think it does the same thing for Rom. Rom, I think, begins to see the ways in which these Federation types actually are different than most Ferengi to kind of think of them.
Warp 5.
I like to talk about these things. They're not easy to talk about. You know, this is not an easy discussion to have because of so much stuff that's going on in our society right now, you know, and what's been going on for years. You know, again, that hashtag, the Me Too, like, it really opened my eyes, you know, and which is what it was supposed to do, right? This is exactly what it was supposed to do.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or even the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. Also, please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and in most third-party apps. You can also stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link.
Well, we would love to hear your thoughts on today's show, Katarian, Eggnog, and otherwise, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only discussion group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, speaking of contact information, Kay, when you're not serving up pancakes at our Prixmas potluck get-together, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can always find me in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is ChocoWeeble. So, Suzanne, when you're not sniffing away on your trading cards, where can our listeners find you?
You can occasionally find me popping up every now and again in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. And Zach, when you're not stealing Boothby's Jack LaLanne Juice Man Juicer, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com trekfm.com/trekfm.
Well, there are a few individuals that we would like to thank from around the Trek FM network. First of all, we'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, also known as our very own Chris Kringle. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and a shout out to our five associate producers here on To The Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of To The Journey and the Trek FM network.
Well, join us next week when we'll be trying to keep Joe Carey from spiking the New Year's punch and convince Zachary that a cat litter cake is not a good idea. But until then, this has been To The Journey.